Good morning, church family. This is your brother Moses Kisaka, and I'll be giving the scripture reading for this morning. Today's scripture comes from Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in your heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, Seeking Joy. We all, at this time of the year, hear the word joy a lot. There are commercials on television. As you turn your radio, you may listen to music that makes reference to the word joy. But what is the problem is that sometimes, we, even though we hear about the joy so many times and so many people use the word joy, sometimes we really do not know what joy is. So the word joy that we will be seeking is a different kind of a joy, not this common joy that we hear about all the time, but the biblical definition of what joy really is. If you look in a church bulletin cover, we made this symbol. You know, the word joy, and there's a circle, that is the target. And the word seeking, try to reach the word joy. Then you see a Bible, which is the source of the definition of a true joy, what is true joy all about. And then you see a branch, symbolize that the joy really is a fruit of the Spirit. The first scripture that I would like to share with you this morning is found in Psalms 118, verse 24, from the New King James. If I don't mention the version of the Bible, it's because it's a New King James version. If there is another one, then I will mention, okay? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Usually, we Seventh-day Adventists use this text almost as a reference to the Sabbath. But actually, this is a verse that we should start every day with. Every single day. If we want to have a true joy in our lives, we need to start every day by saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You have to condition yourself. You have to make your agenda right the moment that you open your eyes before you do anything else. You must connect with God and make a commitment that that day will be a day for joy to reign in your life. I used to say in our services in our Vista Church, it says, you know about this day? You have never seen before and you never see it again. So it's better for us to enjoy it. So I like to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and you will, and I will rejoice, and I will, and you will be glad in it. Let me ask you a question. How do you really think that the Bible defines joy? What does the Bible say about joy at all? Do you know what joy is? When somebody talks to you about joy, do you really know what it is? You know, joy is just like the word love. It's very difficult, almost impossible to define. But we can try to explain or to describe it. Some great writers try to express what joy meant to them. For example, you all have heard about Helen Keller. Some of you have. As she described joy, she said, the holy fire that keeps our purpose warm in our intelligence aglow. C.S. Lewis referred to joy as the serious business of heaven. Trying to describe joy is a very difficult task, but it is a very enjoyable one. The more we think about it, the more we feel it. The more we learn about it, the closer we become to know what true happiness is really all about. Today's message, main goal is to describe what godly joy really is. We hope you will feel it not out there, but in you. By searching God's Word with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, we will know what true joy really is. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he put together a basket of fruits. Yes, he put a basket of fruits that all Christians should have. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we find this basket. In verse 22, he says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. First, love. Then there is the fruit of joy. Then there's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." In verse 23, he continues, "gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things." So joy is one of the fruits in the basket. The results of having this Holy Spirit in us, that's what makes us possess this kind of fruit. If you seek joy inside of the Holy Spirit's temple, which is you, you certainly will find, because wherever the Holy Spirit is, the fruit of joy is present. How does the Word of God truly define what joy is? True joy isn't an emotion. Let's make that clear. True joy is not really an emotion, which is based upon what happens to us, whether the things are good or the things are bad, and what happens around us should not define the joy that we have. No. True joy remains even through suffering. True joy is more than just feeling good. It is a vibrant divine gift that builds in us a lasting godly happiness. The Bible says to us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the last part, it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." In Proverbs 17:22, now I'm reading from the New Century Version, it talks about that joy is actually a good medicine. It says it's a good medicine. And by the way, science agrees with that a joyful spirit is great for your immune system. Charles Spurgeon, the preacher, the evangelist, wrote a long time ago, "There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, yuck. But this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious," he said. "Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy," he calls, "will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others." I don't know about you, but there are some people that put a lot of makeup to look better, to try to look better. They dress up, but the best recipe for to looking great is to have joy in your heart. The Bible commands, and Paul in Ephesians 3 verse 1, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And then he repeats in Philippians 4:4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It is a command. We as Christians, we are commanded to be joyful people. He also repeats to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, New Century Version, he says, "Always be joyful." And I like to say to you, my brothers and sisters, always be joyful. No matter the circumstance, let joy be in your heart. In Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, Paul says to his favorite church, "Do all things without complaining and disputing or arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Oh, I don't know about you, but when you see a person who has joy, they are bright. They shine. In James 1, verse 2, in a New Living Translation, James says this to all of us. It's a advice to all of us, the followers of Christ. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, pandemic or anything, sickness, anything, any kind, comes in your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." When darkness comes in your life, that's the time for you to shine. Let your joy shine around the people. Let be a light to those, because you are the children of God. In 1 Peter 4:13, New Century Version, Peter says, "But be happy that you are sharing in Christ's suffering, so that you will be happy and full of joy when Christ comes again in glory." Aren't you anxious to experience that kind of joy? When finally we'll be looking up and see our beloved Lord returning, what a joy that day will be. Romans 12:12, New Century Version says, "Be joyful," it's a commandment, "because you have hope." Don't act like you don't have hope, because if you have hope, you must be full of joy. Be patient when trouble comes, and pray at all times. In a complete Jewish Bible, I read Psalms 126, verse 5, which says like this, "Those who sow tears will reap with cries of joy." I like the way they put it. It says, "Those that are planted with tears, they will harvest with joy." New Century Version also, in Psalms 94:19, it says, "I was very worried, but you, O God, comfort me and made me a happy person." In a common English Bible, I read from Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. "I'm not saying this because I need anything." This is Paul talking to his favorite church, the Philippians. He says, "I am not saying this because I need anything, for I have learned how to be content or happy or have joy in any circumstance. The things that are around me doesn't change me. I am content," he says. "I know the experience of being in need, and I have more than enough. I have been poor, I have been rich. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance." And by the way, Paul had troubles, a lot of trouble, since he accept Jesus Christ. It was one trouble after the other. But he said, whether full or a full stomach or hungry, or whether having plenty or being poor, "I have learned to be content. I have learned to have joy no matter what circumstance happens in my life." The word content means to hold together, to be satisfied, to contain all the desires bound together and be satisfied for what you already have. In Psalms 51:12, this is the psalm that David wrote after a whole year, after his very severe transgression. Not only he committed adultery, he stole the wife of someone, but he got him killed, and he was about to lose his life, his kingdom, everything. So a year later, he wrote this beautiful Psalm 51. And I'm going to read verse 12, New Living Translation. He is claiming, "Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." And then he wrote again, I'm reading Common English Bible, Psalms 119, verse 111. He says, "Your laws are my possession forever, because they are my heart's joy." Jeremiah 15:16, it says, "Your words were found," referring to God's words, "were found, and I ate them. and your word was to me a joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. John wrote this to his church. As a pastor, John wrote what I like very much, the statement he makes, and I use this many times in reference to some church members also. You find this in 3 John verse 4, because there is only one chapter. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh, what a precious statement. We find in the book of Luke that angels came from heaven and saw a group of pastors, shepherds, and told them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, including all those in Vista, those from Los Angeles, those from Hawaii, those from Colorado, those from Washington State, those that every one of you," the Lord says, "I bring you great joy." We need that joy, brothers and sisters, not only during this season, but every single day of our existence, we need that kind of joy, a great joy. Not just a joy, but a great joy. In Matthew 2, verse 10, it tells us in the New Living Translation, when they, who is they? The wise. When the wise saw the star, they were filled with joy. They were joyful, filled with joy. I hope today, during this season, I hope the wise, if you are one of them, I hope you see the star and be filled with joy. A joy that will carry you through this month, to the next year, and the year after, and the other year, until that Jesus Christ calls you home. And you'll be full with joy. Dr. Robert Holden is a PhD, a British psychologist. Actually, he was born in Nairobi, Kenya, a neighbor country for Tanzania. He worked in England, and he's a broadcaster and also a writer. And he decided to make emphasis in his life about happiness. All that he has seminars, he has blogs about happiness. He likes to teach people about how to be happy. In his blog entitled "The Five Qualities of Joyful People," he made a statement that I decide to quote and I like to share with you. He said this: when people tune in to the feeling of joy, what often emerges is an awareness that this joy is somehow always with us. Joy is quietly, invisibly, ever present. It is not out there and it is not in here. Rather, it is simply everywhere we are. Joy feels somehow beyond space and time. Joy does not come and go. What comes and goes is our awareness of joy. Ironically, he continues, we often feel the presence of joy the most when we stop chasing pleasure and we stop trying to satisfy our own ego. Wow. In Proverbs 10:28, I read this from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, what the righteous hope for will end in joy. What the wicked expect will come to nothing. So if you're righteous, joy will be always part of your life. But if you are unrighteous, your life will come to nothing. Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in God. Let them ever shout for joy, because God defends them. Let those who love God's name be joyful in God. The Complete Jewish Bible also in Psalm 71:23 says, My lips will shout for joy. I will sing your praise, O Lord, because you, Lord, have redeemed me. Yes, every one of you that has experienced redemption, that has turned your life into Christ, know what it means to be full of joy. Luke 15:10, Jesus Christ, Likewise I say to you, he said, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Massena was one of Napoleon's generals. One day, he took 18,000 men, very well armed, before an Austrian town to conquer that town. That town had no means to defend itself, so it was a very easy conquering, the Napoleon general understood. The town council, when they saw those 18,000 men approaching the city, they decided quickly to surrender. But before they would send somebody telling the soldiers they would surrender, an old deacon of the town's main church, went to the church and he started enthusiastically ringing the church bells, announcing that the church services, as usually, was about to start. The French general and his soldiers heard those bells ringing joyfully and came to the conclusion that something was especially happening in that town. Maybe an Austrian army just came in and were ready to protect them. So the general took his men, took everything, and vanished, went away. The incident has often been duplicated in our own individual lives. They have rung the joy bells in the face of pain, of sickness, of poverty, of fear, and loneliness, uncertainty, and all of the trials that we may go through. Then the joy bells ring, and the problem is conquered. Speedily, the foe has gone away. Speedily, the bell ringers have found themselves in possession of the field again. The enemy is gone. Joy comes in. For no enemy is quite so strong as the joy that comes from the Lord. Nothing can be more powerful in our lives. In his letter to the Philippians, as I mentioned to you, was his favorite church, was one of the most kind church of all the churches that he was able to minister to. Paul tells how to experience true joy by focus on three areas. First, he talks about relationships. He talks about a positive attitude. And he tells about a solid purpose in life. So I may ask you this morning, brother and sister, what makes you happy? What brings a smile to your face? You might think it would be lots of money. That's when we talk about happiness, joy, most people think of lots of money. Oh, if I had money, I could cover all my problems. I could resolve every problem that I have in life. Yeah, money does not buy health. Money does not buy happiness. Maybe you want power. Maybe you want fame. What do people do for fame? We may dream about going on a long and a very expensive vacation. Yeah, after the COVID problem is resolved, of course. or going to a dealership and buy a very expensive luxury car. By according to the survey that we study, it was conducted in England, we don't actually need any of these fancy stuffs to find happiness. Rather, it is simply things that is the simple thing that really makes us feel great. Let me give you some examples. First, I don't know if you have lived in a very cold weather, a place where in the winter the sun disappears for weeks, for months. Imagine a person feeling when the sun shines in their face on that cold winter morning. That is joy for them, a joy that nobody can describe. Or what about when you look into your pocket and you find a $20 bill in your jacket pocket that you never thought was there? And surprise, surprise, that brings a smile on your face and joy into your heart. It's just a $20 bill, but it makes joy come up. Do you remember the smell of a fresh baked bread? Wow, it brings joy. Or a random act of kindness from a totally stranger. Imagine the snuggling on the sofa with your spouse. Or finding a good bargain. That brings a lot of smiles and joy to people. What about holding your baby for the first time? Or watching that same baby graduating in high school and college or beyond? Imagine seeing a rainbow after a scary, very scary storm. It's almost like God said, "No worry, I'm here." Or feeling the peace of forgiveness as you come out of the waters of baptism. Do you remember that? I remember when I came out from the waters in baptism, the feeling of peace, the joy that I have in my heart. I'd like to add to this list also the sound of my grandchild's innocent voice. What a delight to hear that beautiful voice. The feeling of eating your favorite meal. And there are so many others. But let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. There are so many little things that bring joy to our hearts. But if our happiness depends solely on these sort of things, then what happens when the sun is hidden by great clouds, or your pockets are completely empty, or the kids are screaming now, no longer laughing, often our joy disappears, and disappointment and discouragement sets in. Not surprisingly, the Bible has a lot to say about godly joy. As the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned before, had a lot to say about that kind of joy. His letter to the Philippians, as I mentioned, is often called the Epistle of Joy. Yes, in this epistle, in the four chapters, you can find the word joy 16 times. He says, as a closing offer, his Philippians, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice." What makes Paul's words even more profound in meaning is when we find out where he was, in what condition he was under when actually he wrote this letter. Yes, he was in a Roman prison, awaiting for trial and possibly death. Yet, the theme of his letter is joy. I don't know about you, but we all could use some of this kind of joy in our own lives, can we? Paul, in this letter to the Philippians, show us how to experience joy even when things are so messed up and so difficult, so many problems all around us. In the first chapter of Philippians, we can find at least three lessons about experiencing godly joy. As I mentioned before, one of them is about relationships. Joy is fundamental in our relationships. It is difficult to be married. But if you're marrying a lemon, you have to have joy to make a lemonade out of it. So it's very important for you to understand that joy and relationship is very important. Paul had a very special relationship with the church in Philippi, as I mentioned three times now. He highlights that relationship by saying, every time I think of you, referring to his church members, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. So do I, brothers and sisters, when I think about you every day. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, New Living Translation. Relationships can be a tremendous source of joy in our lives. We are born social. We need each other. Let me illustrate. Positive psychology expert Martin Seligman studied happiness and found that joyful people spend time with others and spend the least time around themselves or by themselves. Friendships and meaningful relationships is what brings joy to every human person, even the animals. I can see the joy in my little dog when I leave for 5 minutes. I come back and the dog act like he haven't seen me for a whole year. I can see the joy. On the other hand, loneliness is a terrible, very terrible thing that blocks joy in our lives. There are more than 300 million of us in the United States. And sometimes it seems that we all have friends on social media platforms. That sometimes we feel like, oh, everybody's connected one way or the other. But the fact is, the sad truth about this whole thing is that our country are lonelier now than ever before. There are more lonely people now than ever before. Even with this, all this social media, all this technology, people are still very lonely. And this present pandemic is making the situation even worse. Loneliness is affecting children, teenagers, college students, newly married couples, mothers, and especially senior citizens. A few years ago, a small newspaper had an ad in a personal section which said, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But the ad was serious. Did anybody call? You may ask. Sure. It was not long before this individual was receiving so many calls that he was busy the whole day. The pain of loneliness was so sharp to those that was willing to call and try anything for half an hour just for the sake of having a fake companionship. People are looking to connect, to enjoy a relationship, even if it's fake. This is why God gave us a church family. And this is why for us to sustain our joy, we need to always remain connected by all means. One valuable lesson about joy is that it's important for us to stay positive under every circumstance. This is what we learn from Paul. Paul continues to say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, all the way to 18, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Instead of complaining about what happened to him, he said, actually, this has served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, he says, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without any fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached. That's what it counts. And he says, and because of this, I rejoice. Now, this is the situation. Let me make it clear to you so you understand the whole picture. For 24 hours a day, Paul is chained to a Roman soldier. Each soldier serving for a period of 6 hour shift. Every 6 hours, another soldier will come, take place of that soldier that was chained to him and chain himself to him. So Paul said, okay, every 6 hours, okay, I have 6 hours to preach to this individual. So every 6 hours, a new soldier will come and chain himself to Paul, and he could not leave. So Paul started talking, he started sharing the gospel, and Paul, by doing this, by using this wonderful opportunity, he led many soldiers to Christ, and they became soldiers of Christ Jesus. There was no way the soldier could escape. He could not go anywhere. And some of these soldiers actually end up not only accept Jesus Christ, but when going home and sharing the gospel to their own families and their neighbors. As a result, the believers now in town could preach the gospel openly because, you see, the soldiers, they became believers too, so they would not persecute the Christians or stop the Christians from preaching. But then, there is another problem. Some of these preachers were just doing it to make a name for themselves. Did Paul complain? No. It's the opposite. He took the high road. He says, look at the bright side. Either way, Jesus is being preached. And I'm happy. Paul was the ultimate optimist. He was positive because joy was in his heart. He found reasons to rejoice where many of us would just be sitting around and complaining. Joyful people look at the glass half full versus half empty. Let me share to you a true story. There is a story about a young woman named Karen. I changed her name. Okay, Karen, who was driving with her dad when he went to show to his girl, to his little girl, what it really means to have joy in one's heart. As they were driving home from a school activity, they went over some debris on the road. And just a few minutes later, they heard that loud and very familiar noise, the loud and very familiar sound of the flat tire. Karen's face sunk. But her father's face lit up and says, oh, good. He said, I have been meaning to teach you, young lady, how to change a flat tire, and now we have this perfect opportunity to do so. Yes, when you have joy in your heart, even the bad things becomes an opportunity to do great things. That is how a positive attitude reveals the presence and power of a joy in our lives. Our happiness isn't really about the situation we find ourselves in, but about how we see our situation. Our joy determines our perspective in everything. God's presence in our lives makes the difference in the outcome. No matter how rough a day we have or how hard a year has been unique, with a joyful state of mind, there will be always hope to a positive outcome. sometimes you may have to be more patient to receive your blessings. Seek godly joy, and it will lead you to true lasting happiness. I remember a long time ago when I was just a college student, one young man that I knew that was from the same home state that I was born in, he was coming from the teacher's home, and I was going there to talk to my teacher, and we crossed over a bridge, over a river that was there in the school grounds. And he asked me, like everyone, to say, "Hey, how are you?" And I answered a typical way that I always did. "Yeah, so-and-so." And this man looked at me angry. And he stopped and said, "Come on, grow up. What do you mean, so-and-so? Life is great. Why do you have to be always negative? Be positive." I have learned my lesson that day. That individual had no idea how much that a single statement that he made to me changed my life and my perspective about life. I always complain about the things that I did not have. But I didn't realize that I have enough to be full of joy. Life has been great. Sometimes people ask me when they know about my past, how I was brought up. Some people may ask, if you had a chance to change, what would you change? I tell them quickly, nothing. I would have changed nothing because I have learned through affliction, I have learned lessons that no one will be able to ever be able to teach me. I have learned wonderful lessons, and there is nothing that I would like to change. My life will end up just fine. A Nobel Prize winner writer, George Bernard Shaw, probably you have heard his name before, once said, "This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one." And I'm happy because the Lord chose me to have a mighty purpose with my life. And I hope you are happy, brothers and sisters, because God has chosen you also for a mighty purpose in your life. Yes, George Bernard Shaw was right. There is a great joy in being used for a mighty purpose in our lives. In Christ, we all have a purpose in life. That purpose may manifest in different ways. It may result in different careers. But it all comes down to seeking true joy in Christ. I am reminded of the old acronym. Joy. Joy is Jesus, others, and yourself. If you keep it in that order, your life will overflow with joy. Dear brothers and sisters, our lives may have been joyful or joyless lately. But one thing we do not, I mean, one thing I may say, one thing we do know is that joy is a gift that we must seek daily on our knees. Regardless of our own situation or circumstance, if we seek it, we will find it. This season, we want to encourage you to seek the true joy that only Jesus can provide. Seek it. And keep it. In Psalm 16, verse 11, New Century Version says this, "You," meaning the Lord, "will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you," being with the Lord, "will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever. I will find joy forever." Yes, brothers and sisters, if you stand beside God, that is where joy is, true joy. And that joy, you will keep it forever. John 16:22, Jesus says this to his disciples, and he's saying the same thing to us today. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will say, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Jesus continued by saying in John 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And in conclusion for this message today, I like to read from the New Century Version the words of a blessing from Paul to the Romans, and I will make this my words to you today. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in Him. Then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you, my brother and sister. Bless you with ability to seek and to find true joy. That joy that the angels came from heaven and says, joy to the world. And the world that is referring there, it's you, your world, you. So open your Bibles, seek the true joy. And when you find this treasure, let it shine. Let it shine so everyone can see that the joy in you is because Christ is in you. He was born close to 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. But that doesn't mean anything if He is not born today in your heart. If you want to find true joy, turn yourself to Jesus. Turn yourself to Christ and have a wonderful season. May this Christmas be the best season in your life. And may the joy that you find be with you until Jesus Christ comes and rewards you with eternal joy. That's my prayer, my sincere prayer, for the church that I love, for the church that God called me to serve. God bless you. You bring joy to my heart.
At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. Hymn number 132, O Come All Ye Faithful. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come, ye, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, highest. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee for this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing,
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
I'd like to invite God's people to bow down your heads for the benediction. Now may the Lord of joy plant joy in your hearts. May the Lord make that joy flow, overflow, so that the people around you may be blessed because they will see that you are a child of God. And the brightness that shines from you is the joy that He has planted in your heart. May this season and all the seasons until Jesus Christ comes and takes us home, may be each day a blessing to you. May you use the talents, the gifts that the Lord has given to you to make this season very enjoyable to everyone around you. We ask those blessings upon you because you have surrendered your life to Christ and you are His possession. In His name we ask. Amen.